British Parliament votes today on whether to ask the European Union to extend the March 29th deadline for the UK to leave the Union. It comes after MPs voted yesterday not to leave without a Brexit deal. And on Tuesday, they voted to reject the deal Prime Minister Theresa May had negotiated with that trading bloc. A request for a delay would have to go before EU leaders when they meet in Brussels next week. And students across the nation are suing over the college cheating scandal. A lot of the schools involved in it, Stanford, USC, UCLA, Yale, Wake Forest, and others, named in the lawsuit after the feds charged 50 people this week, including wealthy parents, coaches, and some actresses in what's been dubbed Operation Varsity Blues. They paid bribes, according to the FBI, that were funneled through a Southern California businessman to get the kids into those colleges. Students are claiming they were denied a fair opportunity to gain admission because of the scandal. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes. The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll be talking about what I observed about business on a recent trip to Spain. I'll share my thoughts on the college admission scandal. I'll talk about why authenticity is the key to running a successful business. And I'll have four tips on how to get your brand noticed on Instagram. It's Thursday, March 14th, 2019, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. And I'll be taking care of business every day, taking care of business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we always check the weather. It's currently 47 degrees at 12:05. Today, we're going to see partly cloudy skies with a high of 62 and a low of 49. Scattered thunderstorms could develop overnight. For tomorrow, the thunderstorms will continue in the morning and be in the area with showers later in the day. It will be warm with a high of 63 and a low of 40. For Saturday, we're going to have mostly cloudy skies with a high of 48 and a low of 29. And on Sunday, St. Patrick's Day, it'll be sunny with a high of 44 degrees and a low of 26. And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently up 127.51 to 25,682.17. The NASDAQ up 77.28 to 7668.31. S&P 500 is up 26.15 to 2817.67. Oil up $1.39 to $58.26 per barrel. And gold is up at $11.50 to $1,309.60 an ounce. Well, it's time to get going with the program. The program is called Taking Care of Business. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, New Jersey. So glad to be a part of Hunterdon Chamber Radio and been doing the show now for about 7.5 years. Absolutely love getting together with you every week at this time. Last week, I didn't get together with you because my wife and I were on vacation. We had gone to Zurich, Switzerland, then down to Spain. Spend a day over in Morocco and then back in Spain. And one of the things I do when I travel is I observe how businesses work. And I don't care whether I'm in a different country or in a different town. I just want to see geographically how things work differently. And I'll explain that to you in just a few minutes. If you're listening to the program right now, you're probably listening on HuntertonChamberRadio.com, WHCRDB. And so glad, again, that you can join us. But since you are listening, usually on a computer or a tablet, I'd ask you at this time to open up another URL. Go to Facebook.com and search and find this show and then like it. It's called Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. Like and follow the program so you can get updates midweek on what's happening on the program. Or if there's something urgent that's affecting business, I'll put it there first. We always start the program with the business quote of the week, which is brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. This week it comes from Wayne Huizenga, who was the prolific American business person. He owned Blockbuster Video back when it was cool to own Blockbuster Video and the Miami Dolphins. And he said, "Some people dream of success while other people get up every morning and make it happen." So if you were to sit there and look at yourself and say, am I a dreamer or am I a doer? What would you say? How would you grade yourself as it pertains to your business, to your career? Not everybody listening to the program is a owner of a business. I understand that. So if you're an employee, do you dream of your success? Or are you out there every morning making it happen? And this sometimes is a good gut check. Even business owners that have been doing their jobs, they're running their businesses for years, sometimes they get on autopilot and they just do the same thing every day. It becomes Groundhog Day, like in the movie, where you get up every day and you do the exact same thing over and over. And what I hope through this program, as we've been talking with each other now for about 7.5 years, is that you realize I don't want any moss growing under your feet. I want you out there every day constantly trying to improve your business, your processes, understanding how business works. Are you listening not only to this program but other shows in other networks even that will help you grow your business, that will help you improve your business? And that's part of what I think Wayne Huizenga was talking about when he said, some people dream of success while other people get up every morning and make it happen. If you're a dreamer, I want you to think about this over the next couple of days. Take the weekend and come back and figure out how, instead of dreaming about success, you're actually going to work towards it. So that is our business quote of the week, brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. I want to wish everybody a happy St. Patrick's Day this weekend. The fact that it's falling on a Sunday, no way in heck am I going to get in my car and go anywhere. It's just one of those days when, with all that kind of partying, all those people on the road, I'll just stay home and stay safe. Erin Gobra, or Erin Gobrales, I don't really care what she does. Enjoy the weekend. Have a great time with it. Hopefully today you're celebrating Pi Day, as the date is 314, and the first three digits of pi in mathematical equations is 3.14. So today is officially known as Pi Day. Hopefully you'll be enjoying that. So I talked briefly at the beginning of the program about what I learned about business from my recent trip to Europe. Now, again, I was in Spain, I was in Zurich twice, and different provinces in Spain, Malaga, Estepona, and then I went to Morocco for a day. And what I learned was that, especially in Spain, the business owners take a lot of pride in having a very neat, clean, orderly business. You could see them out there at various times during the day, hosing down sidewalks in front of their store, always being attentive to their display racks, sweeping up if necessary, very polite to the customers. You knew that they appreciated the fact that you had just walked into their business, whether you bought anything or not. And what I also noticed, which was kind of interesting, was that the business owners, it wasn't as if, you know, and the Americans get the bad rap here, but it's oftentimes very true. Americans expect that the world will bow to them and everybody will speak our language. And it's kind of hard when you have people that are, maybe not familiar with the language. So, but they tried their best to speak American. Now, going into this trip, I was very nervous because I had taken 6 years of Spanish, you know, in seventh and eighth grade and in high school. And I don't know that I was ever the best Spanish student. But I do want to thank Mrs. Schnur, my Spanish teacher in high school, and Mr. Cugliari, who, you know, we butted heads many times. But I found that very quickly I was remembering certain phrases, certain terms, and I would do my best to speak in Spanish when we were in Spain. When we were in Morocco, you have to speak Arabic. And so our guide would say the way that you say thank you is shukran. And so when I was in a store or in a business or if somebody, you know, brought something to us at lunch, you know, then I would say shukran. And they were all amazed that this, you know, American would go that extra mile. But what I liked about the business owners was that they tried their best to speak English. Do we do that here? If a Spanish-speaking person comes into your store, do you try to learn or speak enough to get through it, to muddle through the transaction? I personally do. We have a lot of Spanish-speaking only customers, and I try very hard to work with them. We have customers that come in and they're playing in a soccer league and they want medals or they want cups or something like that. And sometimes it's just pointing to a picture in a catalog or pointing to something in the showroom. But then when it comes to the engraving, what do you want this to say? Now, you don't put first place, second place, third place on a Spanish trophy. You put primer lugar, segundo lugar, tercer lugar. That's first, second, and third place. When I say that to a customer and they look at me and they say, you know, you speak? I go, poquito, just a little bit. But they work with me and we try to work together. Eventually, we get it all done. There's times when I'll grab my phone, go to Google Translator, and just say, I'll speak into it what I want to say. I'll play that for them so that they can get the translation, and it works out. But what I noticed was it seemed like the business owners in Europe were trying harder not only to earn your business, earn your business. They took such pride in their business, in the showrooms. The floors were clean. The shelves were clean. All of the displays, no matter where we went, neat and orderly, not just putting things on a shelf. Very impressed by the business owners in Europe and in Spain in how they approached their business. The restaurants, same thing. The wait staff, it was almost as if they were acting as if they were the owners. They took such pride in where they worked and the fact that they had a job that it was very impressive to see. Another thing I learned in Morocco, was it Morocco? Yeah, in Morocco, 14% unemployment. And it was all based on education. You can get a free education. So when we talk about socialism, you know, you can get a free education. It's paid for by taxes. Or you could stop after high school, or you could go to university, and that would be paid for. The more education you had, the better job you got. And, you know, if you didn't go on, you know, to college or to university, you could expect to make about $300 a month. And, you know, accordingly, that would be what you would be able to afford in your lifetime if you're only going to go that route. But people who were educated seem to do very well. And, again, still 14% unemployment, but there's opportunity there. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We'll be right back after these messages.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business, it's all right, taking care of business, and working overtime, working out.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. I'm Jim Gano, your host, as we get together every week at this time. So glad you could join me. We're going to continue the conversation right now as we talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in Flemington and on the national scene as well. There is something coming up April 9th that I think everybody should definitely think about attending. It's the 10th Annual Women's Leadership Summit, and the theme this year is Own Your Strength, Cultivating Confidence in Communication. And again, it's going to take place on April 9th, which is a Tuesday, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Hawk Point Golf Club in Washington, New Jersey. The keynote speaker is going to be Megan Lamb from Cisco Systems, and the morning panel will discuss how to create meaningful partnerships within the community. Guest speakers include Rosemary Fellner of Unity Bank, Linda Kastner of the Alexandria Field Airport, and Karen Whitico of Prevention Resources. There will be breakout sessions including Reputation Management and Public Relations, hosted by Jessica Smith of Janssen Pharmaceuticals, Social Media and Advertising, hosted by Audrey Kirchner of Inkema, and Managing Your Personal Brand Using LinkedIn from Karen Yankovic, Uplevel Media, and Good Girls Get Rich. The summit will include breakfast and lunch. To register, go to www.hunterdonchamber.org or call us at 908-782-7115. It's presented by the Hunterdon Radiological Associates, Starmus Corporation, Financial Resources, DeToris and DeGeorge, Raton Valley Community College, ShopRite, the Women's Business Forum, the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, Michelle Heidi and Associates, Hunterdon Healthcare, and MSI Plumbing and Remodeling. So again, a great opportunity for women to improve their communication skills, cultivating confidence in communication, owning your strength at this year's Women's Leadership Summit on April 9th. I highly recommend that you attend. This is always a very successful event hosted by the Chamber of Commerce. Now it's time to get down and dirty and ugly and mean and talk about the college scandal that's been going on regarding bribing schools to admit students of wealthy people. Now, Desperate Housewives star Felicity Huffman and fellow Hollywood actress Lori Loughlin were among 50 people indicted Tuesday in a multi-million dollar scam to help children of the American elite cheat their way into top universities. The accused, who also include chief executives, financiers, a winemaker, and a fashion designer, allegedly cheated in admission tests or arranged for bribes to get their children into prestigious schools, including Yale, Stanford, Georgetown, and the University of Southern California, federal prosecutors said. They paid a bogus charity run by Californian William Rick Singer millions of dollars, both to arrange for people to fix SAT and ACT entrance exams for their children, and also to bribe university administrators and sports coaches to recruit their children, even when the children were not qualified to play university-level sports. Huffman, 56, and Loughlin, the 54-year-old star of Full House, were among 33 parents accused of conspiracy to commit mail fraud and honest services mail fraud in joining the scheme. Loughlin's fashion designer husband, Massimo Giannulli, was also on the list. Four people accused of running the scam and 13 officials associated with university sports and the testing system were also charged. The payments ranged anywhere from $200,000 to $6.5 million, according to Andrew Lelling, the U.S. attorney in Boston, Massachusetts, where the case was filed. Coaches, including the women's soccer coach at Yale University and the sailing coach at Stanford, took between $200,000 and $400,000 to accept the students onto their teams. Some simply never showed up, he said. Some pretended an injury, and some played and then quit, he said. None of the students were charged, and most remain at the universities for now, he said. The parents and other defendants are clearly the prime movers in this fraud. The investigation, which has gone on for 1 year, did not lead to charges against any of the universities involved. We have not seen the schools as co-conspirators, Lelling said. maybe this is why I never got into Harvard. But seriously, you have all that fame, all that money, and you have to bribe coaches to accept your kids to get a foot in the door at the school to say that they play a sport that they never participate in. Well, the flip side of this, and this is where a lot of lawsuits are being generated right now, is what about the kid, the average kid that busts their butt with tutors and SAT prep courses? Maybe they sign up for a semester at Huntington Learning Center or something like that so that they can improve the scores. They know they have to do more, so they volunteer in their community. Maybe they're Eagle Scouts or Girl Scouts. Maybe they're in 4-H. Maybe they do other community service that legitimately deserve a shot at admission but did not get accepted. The system is rigged, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. This is an absolute disgrace on the higher education system, and my guess is you will find that more people have taken advantage of this system either before it was announced or currently, but I think more names are going to come out from this, and I think we're only scratching the surface. Years ago, I was on the admissions committee as a student, as a senior, in my college, Salem College in West Virginia. I can remember sitting in a room. We had the president of the university, some of the deans there, members of the faculty, guidance counselors, and then 3 or 4 student representatives. And we would go through it. Now, there were some kids that would apply, and boom, it was a no-brainer. You know, great grades, very active in the community, and we would let them in. Or we would accept them. Not necessarily that they would come to the school, but we would accept them. Then what you have is you would have that difficult student, or maybe 2 or 3 applicants. GPAs are the same. SAT scores are the same. Maybe they don't have a lot of extracurricular involvement. Maybe they played sports, which didn't allow them to have a job, or they didn't have time to be in the Boy Scouts or something like that. But they were kind of like on the cusp, and you would sit there and make the decision, and you have that very difficult decision, who's getting the acceptance letter, and who are we going to have to pass on? And it was a very, you know, difficult decision to be made. Nobody was coming to us and saying that we had to accept one person over another. Nobody was bribing anybody at that particular college at that time to say that this student had to come in, they had to make the soccer team, they had to be on the crew team or anything like that. There was a process involved, and I can still remember several times when I would disagree, you know, and I would say, no, this kid seems good to have everything. Boy, you know, 1 or 2 more percentage points in the GPA, and we would already have accepted them. And, you know, so it was a very emotional time in that room. You know, there were administrators who were passionate about one particular student over another. There were students who were passionate over one student or another. But it wasn't like we were being told, oh, Johnny's got to get in because he's on the crew team. And I can tell you that there are no crew teams in Salem, West Virginia. So it wasn't like the system was being rigged in any way. I don't feel bad one bit. You see all the pictures of Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin as they're coming out of the courtroom. And, you know, they look so sad. Oh, I feel so bad. I don't feel bad one bit for these people. They had a life of luxury that many of us can only dream about. They were making $40,000, $50,000, $80,000 an episode. I think when Desperate Housewives was on, the actresses there were making over $250,000 a year. They have great lives. You have, in Lori Loughlin's case, a husband who's a famous fashion designer. You have, in Felicity Huffman's case, William H. Macy, one of the most prolific actors in Hollywood. They had the means, they have the resources, but they felt they had to have an advantage. Now, in Felicity Huffman's case, she spent $15,000 to have a proctor change her child's answers on the SAT and make sure that any wrong answers were marked correctly. Who the hell has the contact to know who the proctor is in the exam to get that done? Everybody can be bought, is an old expression. But who has the wherewithal to find out who the proctor was, give them $15,000 and say, here, make sure my kid, you know, gets a good grade on the SAT? In Lori Loughlin's case, this is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. She spent over $500,000 to get her kids into the University of Southern California, USC. So in effect, she paid $500,000 just to get her kids into the school. Okay, let's not end there. The average tuition at USC, I looked it up last night, was $50,210 per year, had they been accepted on merit. So now she had to spend, because she had two children going there, $400,000 more for both of them to attend for 4 years. Nearly $900,000 when all is said and done. And the one daughter has been bragging in videos as a vlogger, where she has 2 million followers, that although she was accepted to USC, she didn't really know how many classes she was going to be attending. I bet you the kid who's sitting at home with the rejection letter in his or her hand would have been at every class, would have busted their hump, would have been someone that the university would have been proud to have, you know, attending their schools. And again, for Felicity Huffman to pay for somebody to correct wrong answers on her kids' SAT exams, again, the question is, how do you even know who the proctor is? How tainted is the system? The gentleman who ran the whole thing, Mr. Singer, apparently had made over $25 million in the last 6 years running this operation. Who finds out about these things? How do you find out that this is going on? It makes me a hell of a lot more proud of my kids and of other kids that I know who didn't scam the system, who worked hard, who put in the extra effort, and who, if they had to go to Huntington Learning Center, they did. If they had to stay extra for extra help, they did. If they had to get a tutor, they did. But they did it on their own merit. And I put a hell of a lot more credence into the diplomas hanging on those kids' walls than I do on someone who basically paid their fee to get a C. Absolutely disgusting. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Announcing it this morning, former Democratic congressman from Texas Beto O'Rourke says his run for the White House in 2020 will be different.
It's being with people. It's listening to people. It's being respectful of every single person in every community, never asking your party affiliation or wanting to define you by your differences.
O'Rourke announced initially with a video posted this morning and then showed up at a coffee shop in Iowa. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin suggesting he'll protect President Trump's privacy if he receives a request from House Democrats for the president's tax returns. Mnuchin does say at a hearing this morning if he receives the expected request,
I will consult with the legal department within Treasury and I will follow the law.
The House Ways and Means Committee is expected to ask for the documents soon. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gannot, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington and the host of this program, Taking Care of Business, every Thursday at noon. Don't forget to like the program on Facebook, like Huntington Chamber Radio as well, so you can get all the information from all of our hosts as to what's going to be happening on their programs as well. During the preview of the show, I mentioned how being authentic in your business can be the key to success. Consumers want to invest their money in companies that make them feel something real, and authenticity should be a top priority. Now, with millions of businesses competing for their attention every time they open web browsers, inbox, and social media, consumers have to be selective about where they are going to spend their money. Why in the world would someone choose your business over another? Now, if you have trouble answering that question, it might be time for you to reevaluate your goals to make sure you are aiming to create a business focused on more than just making a sale. You should be authentic. Authenticity should be a top priority. Consumers want to invest their money in companies that make them feel something real, whether that is inspired, happy, sad, excited. They want to feel emotion. If your goal is to elevate your business above the competition, you must first prove to your customers that you genuinely want what is best for them. Strive to provide more than just a product or a service. Strive to give them an experience that digs deeper into their emotions. Now, how can you improve authenticity? Simply, be honest. Consumers are tired of spammy emails and clickbait. It might seem obvious, but tricking your customers into buying something from you is not going to help your reputation. Instead, tell them a real story or share something about your company that allows them to relate to you. Be consistent. Your customers will lose trust in your business if you start to confuse them. That is why branding is crucial. So make sure you are using similar messaging, fonts, and colors everywhere possible. A customer should be able to look at your website, social media, and advertisements and immediately know that it's your brand. Think of the golden arches from McDonald's. And you want to be responsive. When someone reaches out to you, whether it's a question, a concern, a compliment, you should always, always capital letters, quotes, underline, italicize, bold type, respond. Now, we're not talking about an automated robot response. What I'm talking about is a genuine response from a real human being and preferably from you. Be kind and understanding. They want their voice to be heard, so show your customers that you are there to listen. Simple advice. It's so simple, and it's so often overlooked by so many businesses. A lot of times when I talk with business owners, whether it's in a group setting or individually, it's almost as if they're getting ready for a prize fight as a boxer. Customer comes in or calls, and they complain about part of the sale, maybe the product is defective or something like that. And it's as if they're going on defense right away. I always look for the solution. How can I make this better? A gentleman came in yesterday, unhappy with a job I had engraved prior to leaving on vacation. I didn't really take the time to look at the engraving before I packaged it up and gave it to him. But when he pointed out to me the mistakes, I said, this is on me. This is all my fault. I'm going to make it better. Came in early this morning, engraved new plates, he picked them up, he was happy. But I shouldn't have had to go through that. Now, yes, I admitted my mistake. I didn't challenge him and say that it was acceptable or anything like that. And I've heard some business owners say that they love it when a customer makes a mistake. They do the work, customer picks it up, they realize they spelled somebody's name wrong, and now they get to charge them twice. How stupid is that? Just do the job. You know, and the goodwill, I think, oftentimes will help you retain that customer and get more work from them than trying to show them that, you know, they made a mistake and that it's going to cost them more money. So, again, be authentic, be responsive, never be confrontational with people. You know, when John Wanamaker said that, you know, the customer is always right, and rule number two was if you ever doubt that, refer to rule number one, he was right. You know, and even if the customer's dead wrong, make them feel that they're right. You don't want to lose your shirt over it, but you also don't want to get into a fight where now they're just going to go out and tell everybody that, you know, you're the worst person on the face of the earth. Let's talk about Instagram for a minute. This is a platform that I use a lot, but that I haven't really promoted on the show here because I was doing more and more research on how can you not so much monetize Instagram, but how can you make it work for you. Instagram is a very visual platform. It's not a lot of text. You know, you're not writing Gone with the Wind. You're not writing War and Peace. It's put up a picture, describe what people see, and move on. A few simple changes to your Instagram strategy can make all the difference in garnering engagement, winning customers, and boosting conversions. Now, it's no secret that social media platforms present a major opportunity for marketers today. Modern consumers are glued to their smartphones more than ever. So, and here's an interesting stat I heard. About 10 years ago, people would check their smartphones for a total of about 33 minutes a day. Now it's up to about 127 minutes a day where people are on their smartphones. If they're that engaged, you need to be on the platforms that they're visiting. So, again, it's no secret that social media platforms present a major opportunity for marketers today. Consumers are glued to their smartphones more than ever. So, when you're looking to connect with your customers, social media is your best bet for success. In particular, Instagram has demonstrated a significant spike in popularity over the past few years. Now, since 2015, the number of Instagram users has more than doubled, reaching 1 billion users just last year. Instagram has had a substantial impact for brands who have created a presence for their business on that platform. It's now become a hub for e-commerce, a channel for customer service, and even a source for digital advertising. However, Instagram's ever-changing feed algorithm has made it increasingly difficult for accounts to be seen organically. So what does this mean for marketers? You're wasting time, money, and effort on campaigns that may never be seen by your target audience. So here now are four tips to cut through the noise and get your brand noticed on Instagram. First, you want to prepare to respond to current events quickly. Now, if you're one of the first to share a piece of breaking news, you're going to get the attention and engagement from your audience that latecomers won't. Stay on top of things that are relative to your audience, whether it be current events, pop culture references, or trending topics. This can be a foolproof way to get your audience's attention. We just had a story about the school scandal, the college scandal. If there was a way to work that into your Instagram feed, and I got about four messages during the commercial break, when I ended that story with the line, you know, pay your fee, get a C, four people responded within 30 seconds. They loved that quote. Maybe that is something you can do. Put it on a T-shirt and sell the T-shirts. I don't care what you do, but make sure that you're current. Years ago, Dale Earnhardt Jr. had won the grandfather clock at Martinsville Raceway for winning the race. That's the trophy. You win a grandfather clock. And he posted a picture of the grandfather clock in his foyer at his home. So when I copied the picture, I made it into a newsletter, and I said, just like you can have a clock just like this that Dale Jr. won by coming to Crown Trophy of Flemington, because we sell the exact same clock through one of our vendors. Got a huge amount of engagement, and people really liked the fact that it was timely. It was within 48 hours of the race. When the Super Bowl comes up, I always put a video out there of how the Super Bowl trophy is made. When the Stanley Cup is in, getting close to Game 6, Game 7, I always put a story. There's so many funny stories about how the Stanley Cup has been misused and abused over the years that, you know, people don't understand it, although it's one of the most highly regarded trophies. It's had a pretty rough life over its time. So, again, prepare and respond to current events quickly. Be sure to set news alerts or task a team member to keep watch for meaningful events that can be used to reach out to your audience. It's important to keep your target customer in mind during this process, however. For example, if you're hoping to capture the attention of middle-aged males, you might not want to post about the whereabouts of a breakout pop star. This tactic is all about tailoring your content to the interests of your target demographic. You also want to allow Instagram to initiate frequent conversations. And Instagram is probably the best tool for engagement by far, is the new thing called Instagram Stories. Stories allow you to include polls, questions, and hashtags, all of which fuel customer response and participation. Not only will people answer the question you've posed, they'll often engage with you and others over the topic that you've chosen. Your job as a marketer is to find a topic that really sparks interest. Then, be an active participant in that conversation. As Thrive Hive suggests, Instagram Stories allows you to continue using or start implementing frequent posting as an engagement strategy instead of only wow posting to stay on top of mind for your audience. This means that Instagram Stories gives you the perfect excuse to post content more frequently than ever, which then boosts your top-of-mind awareness for your brand. And you want to be posting at the right time. Posting once a day isn't the only important factor for getting noticed. You also need to post strategically, at the right times. Many times this might be outside of your typical business hours. Think about when you're most likely to check in with social media. It's likely to be the first thing in the morning, during your lunch hour, or right before you go to bed. Luckily for marketers, if you run a business account, Instagram provides this information to you. Head to the Analytics tab of your account. This is where you'll be able to see the days of the week and the times of the day that your followers are on Instagram the most. To get the highest amount of engagement, post when your target audience is most active. This is the best strategy to ensure your posts aren't getting buried in the sea of content posted throughout the day. The initial burst of engagement from posting at the right time can help boost your post, meaning that it will show up higher in people's feeds, getting you more exposure. And you want to utilize a consistent brand look and language. Not the first time I've talked about that in today's stories. Because Instagram is a highly visual platform, users are going to rely on the look of your brand's posts in order to recognize you. Unsurprisingly, Instagram posts that get the most engagement and notice are consistent in the look of their images. For example, they use the same filters, a similar color scheme, or just a consistent style of photography. You want to build a cohesive brand image that makes brand recognition a snap for your audience. This way, they can easily recognize your brand when mindlessly scrolling through their Instagram feed. And this holds true for your captions, too. The tone, length, and verbiage of the caption of your post should also maintain a theme. Whether you use humor, emojis, or short anecdotes in your captions, make sure the caption represents your brand as a whole and remains a running thread throughout each post. These are just a few simple changes to your Instagram strategy that can make all the difference in garnering engagement, winning customers, and boosting conversions. Another good thing about the captions is always have some form of a call to action, whether it's call today for price. You know, let's say you put a new picture of a blouse. You run a clothing store for women. So you put a picture of a blouse. Love this new blouse from XYZ Designer. It's available now for $49.95. limited quantities. Sizes available from small to, you know, XL, or from 2 to 10 or whatever. But then have a call to action. Visit in store today. Order online now. Call for availability. Visit our website. That kind of call to action can take a person out of their Instagram feed and then have them looking at your website or looking at your hours. When can they come and take a look at this particular product? So again, it's not a big deal to say, hey, check out more products at our website, you know, www.crowntrophy.com. You know, so that's the kind of thing. Calls to action are important. Posting is good if you're going for front of mind, you know, presence. Calls to action are what's going to drive your business further. So just a couple of tips on how you can use Instagram. But seriously, if you're already posting on Facebook, a lot of times you're adding pictures. Not that hard to link it to a Instagram account. And using a tool such as Hootsuite can make you do the post just once and get it out on all of your platforms. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. When we come back, I'm going to talk about a couple of strategies for using video market on any budget and ways that you can use it to grow your business. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Every day, taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime.
you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano. So glad you could join me every Thursday at this time to go over issues that affect your business and businesses large and small here in Hunterdon and on the national scene as well. I want to talk to you about video marketing. We just talked about Instagram, and that's typically still pictures. You can use some video on there as well. But video marketing is probably the way, if you look at the next 3 to 5 years, where you're going to see the most, not only engagement, but results. People don't mind watching a 30-second, 45-second, or one-minute video if it's going to inform, entertain, or make them feel something. So if a picture is worth 1,000 words, how many words would a video be worth? The idea of video marketing might produce images of a huge camera on a dolly with independent sound and lighting crew. And while this is often the case for high-budget advertisements, these are not essential for an effective video marketing campaign. Web usage data suggests that users are shifting towards mobile device browsing over desktop browsing. Users also tend to access their mobile devices more frequently throughout the day, but for shorter spans. So given those trends, your video marketing strategy might be more effective if you regularly release content. This will allow you to appear more frequently on your target audience's various social media feeds. So I'm going to give you some tools now and strategies you can use to create marketing videos that'll suit your budget. First, you want to plan your shots. Now, in college, I studied broadcasting. Just to give you a little background, studied broadcasting, worked at an NBC affiliate, has done a number of freelance video projects. These steps are going to help you in your mind when you think, oh my God, I don't know how to make a video. This will help you get things done. So the first thing is to plan your shot. A full storyboard is probably overkill for smaller scale videos, but you should have a plan, start, middle, end. And you should have a clear idea of what story each video is telling. With decreasing attention spans, shorter content is increasingly instrumental in keeping your audience engaged with your content. You also need to be quick out of the gate with grabbing your audience's attention. With scrolling feeds, it's easy for your audience to skip past your content if it is not quickly stimulating. After an eye-catching introduction, you can convey the essence of your message. Be sure to use visuals which strongly enforce what it is you are saying. Now, on top of being catchy and memorable, try to produce something original. This doesn't mean each video has to be unique. It means your brand videos should have an identifiable character. You should try to keep this character consistent throughout all of your videos. This has the effect of creating a feeling of familiarity with your brand. A great example of this would be GoPro's marketing videos. It doesn't take long to recognize a GoPro video. Then you have to think about, after you make the video, where are you going to show it? Your distribution channel. Where are you planning to share your videos will have a large effect on what tools you will use to create your videos. YouTube is the biggest name in video consumption and discovery. This is on top of being America's most popular social media platform. The versatility and ubiquity of YouTube make it a good starting point for distributing your videos across multiple channels. The inbuilt data tools will also come in handy. Instagram and Snapchat are great for shorter videos, especially if you are targeting a younger audience. Going back to YouTube for a minute, upload it to YouTube, and very often you can download it into other platforms using their video content. I know that when I place a video in a Constant Contact email, I first upload it to YouTube and then send the link to the email. Same thing can be done with Facebook, but it has to have some hosting platform to make it work. Then answer the question of vertical versus horizontal. Now, in days gone by, shooting video in vertical orientation was almost a cardinal sin. And presently, there are use cases where vertical videos are actually preferable. The biggest factor here is how your audience will be viewing your video. A general rule of thumb here is that if it's for mobile consumption, go for vertical. If it's for desktop or TV, go for horizontal. Do not switch between the orientations in one video. Then you have video capture hardware. You should use the best quality hardware that you can. Now, here are a couple of good options for the kinds of camera hardware you can use for capturing your shots. The first is a digital camera. If you prefer and have time for capturing your shots on one device and editing it to another, a standalone camera will offer you better picture and sound quality. A DSLR camera like the Canon 80D or a compact digital camera like the Sony RX100-IV are two suitable and versatile options for easy video capture. Also, you can use smartphones and tablets. Companies like Apple and Samsung have both run campaigns highlighting the video capture capabilities of their devices. For short format videos, which you will release directly on social media, this is the quickest and most effective capturing method. Factors to be aware of include the resolution and FPS of the camera in your mobile device. There are a couple of optional extras that you can include. Tripods are recommended for static shots, while gimbals are recommended for moving shots. A mid to high-end smartphone combined with a DJI Osmo Mobile 2 is a great toolkit for many of video types. Drones are great for producing establishing and transitional shots. They will definitely add variety, but will also add to your budget and production time. External microphones can be useful if the audio you're capturing needs to be clearly heard. And editing software can be key. Once you have your shots, you need to transform them into the story that you want to tell. Apps like Instagram and Snapchat have their own editing options, which are usually sufficient for the types of content shared on their platforms. There are more options if you prefer more fine-grained control or for larger projects. iMovie is the perfect introduction to making video if you own an Apple device. It is available on both mobile and desktop. And other desktop software options include Lightworks, Adobe Premiere Pro, and Final Cut Pro. Similarly, Android has a few dedicated options like PowerDirector or VideoPad. And don't forget, add some music. For your first couple of videos, focus more on familiarizing yourself with the tools than on perfecting the details. And once you've found the video voice of your brand, you will improve with each successive video. So a couple great ideas on how you can get video to help work your brand, sell your product, and get your audience engaged, which is, you know, number one, what you should be trying to do all along. Your customers, your audience should almost know the time and day of the week that you're going to release something, and they should be looking forward to it. Then when they see that XYZ company has released, you know, has added to their story or something like that, it almost makes them want to stop what they're doing to check in on what you're doing. So something to think about there. Also, with regards to front of mind presence, I wanted to bring up that last week, as I mentioned, I was in Europe and Switzerland and Spain and Morocco. And during that time, I sent out three newsletters. The first newsletter was on Monday. I was in the air on an airplane. Newsletter goes out saying that we were celebrating our 10th year anniversary of doing business here in Flemington. And I got a tremendous response. Great open rate, a lot of clicks on the links and attachments. On Thursday, I sent out another one about a very cool product that we had just completed for the Hampton Fire Company. Again, an even better open rate and great click-through on some of the attachments. And then on Monday of this week, I sent out another email about a basketball that I had painted. This is a follow-up to an email I had sent out a few weeks ago. Got a lot of engagement on that. A couple of athletic directors called to see if I would do some painted balls for them. And it just goes to show that if you make the time for your marketing, it can pay dividends. So while I'm walking the streets of Morocco, I have newsletters in doing their engagement here in central New Jersey. While I'm sitting in Estepona, Spain, enjoying a nice dinner, I have another email marketing going out. You can set the time for your email marketing campaigns to go. You don't just have to type it really quick and then hit send now. You can tell the platform when you want it to go out. And a lot of times, these things were being sent when I was tucked in with my teddy bear in bed because it was time to go out at a certain release point. So I'm tired of people making excuses. It's really just ignorance when it comes to email marketing and video marketing. Try. There's a tough word. Try to do something that you haven't done before. Step out of your comfort zone. Write a simple little post. Take a picture of a particular product. If a new product comes in, take a picture of it and brag about it. Let people know that you really like this. When those two awards came in for the Hampton Fire Company, I was absolutely blown away. And it took me three paragraphs to explain to people why it was unique, why it was something that they should be looking at for their end-of-year awards, whether on the corporate side or volunteer side, and that we could do anything, and they were fully customizable. But I was so excited, I had to get that into a newsletter. And I didn't want it to wait till I got back from vacation. I wanted it out now, and the response has been tremendous. So don't make it harder than it has to be. Break it down into small bite-sized chunks, and you'll be surprised how easy it becomes after a lot of repetition for you to create great content. In sports, the NBA and NHL seasons are marching toward the playoffs. In NASCAR news, Kyle Busch won the Ticket Guardian 400 in Phoenix last weekend. This week, the teams will travel to California for the Auto Club 400 Sunday at 3:30 p.m. In other NASCAR news, Tony Stewart leads the new nominees for the 2020 Hall of Fame nominees, along with Sam Ard, Neil Bonnett, Marvin Pantz, Jim Pascal, and Red Voigt. And congratulations to Bridgewater native Greg Matarazzo for being selected as the first pick by Kurt Busch of Chip Ganassi Racing to represent the team in a new e-racing format competition that will continue into the fall. Matarazzo was thrilled to be selected by Busch and used to run go-karts in the Somerset County 4-H Go-Kart Club that I used to run along with Russ Zabrowski. Good luck, Greg. What this basically is they're trying to get more engagement with youthful viewers. And so side-by-side from the race on Sunday, there will be an e-racing platform. They've picked 24 kids that, you know, usually race online, and they held a draft. And Kurt Busch picked Greg, so he'll be representing Chip Ganassi. He can basically say now he's a driver for Chip Ganassi. Never has to climb into the cockpit of a car. He just uses his video controllers to make it work. In Major League Baseball, spring training is in full swing. In NFL news, the New York Giants traded Odell Beckham Jr. to the Cleveland Browns, and the New York Giants signed Le'Veon Bell from Pittsburgh. In NCAA men's basketball, we are getting into it. March Madness is getting closer. Right now, Gonzaga holds down the top spot, followed by Virginia, North Carolina, Kentucky, and Duke. Michigan State, Texas Tech, Tennessee, LSU, and Michigan round out the top 10. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better. And your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I'll be taking care of business.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Beto O'Rourke is meeting with Iowans today. This is part of his three-day swing as he announced that he's running for president. The former congressman from Texas joins an already crowded 2020 Democratic field. President Trump was asked about O'Rourke today at the White House.
I've never seen hand movement. I watched him a little while this morning doing, I assume it was some kind of a news conference, and I've actually never seen anything quite like it. Study it. I'm sure you'll agree.
Almost 80 million Americans are under the impact of a winter storm that's being called a bomb cyclone due to the rapid air pressure drop. Thousands of Coloradans woke up today in the dark after storms knocked out power lines, grounded flights, and buried highways in snow. The storm is packing damaging winds and tornadoes in the Midwest and South. A Connecticut Supreme Court ruled that gunmaker Remington can be sued over how it marketed the Bushmaster rifle used in the Sandy Hook Elementary School shootings. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wade Allyn-Root for Tangible Investments. Tangible CEO has been quoted on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, interviewed on CNBC, and featured in Fortune magazine. He's been warning about a volatile and unpredictable stock market for months. The Dow is down 4,000 points since the peak. The Russell 2000 down more than 20%. In 2008, the market fell 55%, more than half your net worth wiped out. You need asset protection now. If you're a qualified client who has ever bought gold or silver before, and you have the receipt to prove it, Tangible Investments will give you a free fractional American American Gold Eagle with a retail value of $199. Tangible will prove after you deal with Tangible Investments, you'll never buy from anyone else ever again. Call now to find out if you qualify for your $199 gold gift free. Call Tangible Investments at 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000. Tangible has done billions of dollars in transactions and can show you how to protect your assets. Call 800-780-9000 and go for your free $199 coin.
Empire actor Jesse Smollett pleaded not guilty in a Chicago courtroom today to 16 counts stemming from an alleged hate crime hoax. The Cook County State's Attorney asked Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson to turn over the probe to the FBI. The Senate is expected to vote on a plan that would block President Trump's emergency declaration to build a wall at the southern border. USA Radio Network's John Clemens reports.
The vote could be a setback for Mr. Trump, who even while running for office, promised to build the wall. Senator John Cornyn of Texas tells us, wall or not, he's concerned over what we know is already coming over the border.
There's not only economic migrants coming across the border, but women and children